Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms, please. Did you announce the Valentine banquet, brother? That's great. Miss Eve told me Sunday night that there were already like 26 couples signed up for the Valentine banquet. And that's awesome. Amen. But I'll tell you right now, if you think you're going to get my lasagna, you got another thought coming. Amen. Amen. We'll arm wrestle for it. Psalm 119 tonight, I want to read the first 8 verses and just look at a thought here tonight for a few minutes together. The Bible said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Boy, the Lord just spoke to my heart right there. "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." If correctly read, that's verse 1 down through verse number 8. Let's pray and we'll get right into this tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for the precious word of God. Lord, I know it is our help. It is our hope tonight. God, we pray tonight that you will clothe us in our calling. Help us, Lord, to teach the word of God tonight, Lord, in its purity and in its power. And we know, Lord, that your will tonight is to change us even from glory to glory. And Lord, I know that the word of God has transforming power. Lord, you said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us, change us more and more into the likeness of your Son until that glad day comes, Lord, when we'll be exactly like you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We talked about, and I don't want to be redundant, but I learned something else as I studied this time. We talked about the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet that are representative of these 22 sections in Psalm 119. I didn't know this, but each section, for an example tonight, this is Aleph, is how I guess you would pronounce that, best I can tell. Not only is the first 8 verses under that first letter, but each in the Hebrew language, each verse in the first 8 sections begins with that Hebrew letter. And then when you go to the second, now the English language is not going to show that, y'all understand that, but then when you go into the second, Beth, then that second letter, that second set of 8 verses, every verse would begin with the letter Beth, and so on. And to me, that's interesting. I hope it interests you, but it just how that God can take his word and so organize it. How many believes God is a God of order? He's not a God of disorder, but he's a God of order. I mean, look how he ordered the universe. I mean, we're just the right distance from the sun. Any closer, we burn up. Any further away, we freeze to death. We couldn't take it. Amen? I mean, God is a great God tonight, and he's our God and our Savior tonight. I want to key in on some words here in this psalm tonight, as the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart as I looked at it. I want to read you something tonight before I get started on these words. the Lord spoke to my heart about here. I read this afternoon, and I was just thinking about the Word of God and thinking about the Bible. I asked some of the folks after church on Sunday about that illustration, and I shared with you an illustration about a man that was severely burned, and that man could not see, and he had read somewhere that someone had learned how to read the Bible with their lips. They could read the Braille with their lips. By the way, I believe this was Sunday morning, and some were in other classes, children's church and things, Sunday morning. So I believe the Lord does want me just to repeat it tonight. But it blessed my heart when this man, he was a little bit disappointed when he found out he couldn't read the Braille with his lips because the nerve endings in his lips had been killed. And so he learned that he could read the Braille with the tip of his tongue. And he read the Word of God four times completely through with the tip of his tongue. I don't know about you, but that challenges my heart tonight, that we ought to love the Word of God. Amen. And we should never complain about wearing glasses. Amen. I mean, how small is that to get to read the Word of God? But anyway, I read this afternoon, and I thought it was good. I'll share it with you. An unknown writer said this. He said, this book, the Bible, is the mind of God. I believe it was Brother Raymond Barber that I heard years ago. And he would always open every sermon by saying a statement almost like that. This book is the mind of God. And he would say a few more things just introducing his message. He said, now let's open God's book and see what he's thinking about. See what God's got on his mind. Amen. I thought that was good. But this writer said this book, the Bible, is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. That's what we're looking at tonight. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven is opened, and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for all eternity. That's a pretty good book right there, amen? And we call it the Bible, the Word of the Living God. I appreciate that so very much. When I looked at this here about reading it slowly and frequently and prayerfully, I thought back on the message Sunday morning about the nectar. That spoke to my heart. The nectar is a thin substance that the bee extracts from the flower and carries it to the beehive. And that little statement in there studying about honey, the nectar is easily spoiled. Oh, I tell you how the enemy wants to spoil the nectar in our lives before it turns to honey and the Word of God. And let me just say this tonight. If the Word of God to you and I is not sweet like honey and the honeycomb, then the nectar has been spoiled. Amen? Now listen tonight. We need that. Let me give you this tonight. I got just several words here. I didn't number them. Looks like four. Four words tonight. And we'll go back and say a little bit about these in each section. The first word tonight is the word blessedness. The Word of God, it will produce
a blessedness. The Word of God starts here in verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Let me ask you something tonight. If you were to go out here and go up and down the streets of Kingsport, and you were to ask people, how are you doing? You would get different responses, would you not? My dad had a response. He told people for years, he'd say, better than I deserve. I like this. I run into cashiers and I run into people at a restaurant. I like people that say, how are you doing? And they say, blessed. If you were to go up and down the streets of Kingsport tonight and ask people, would you like to be blessed? How many believes the majority of people would say, amen, yes, I would. I mean, even if they don't know Jesus as their Savior, I believe everybody knows enough about the word blessed so they'd say, yes, I'd like to be blessed. I'll tell you something right now. On Monday, I was blessed. On Sunday, I was blessed. On Tuesday, I was blessed. And I ain't been standing here for about 5 minutes, and I'm fixing to be waiting knee deep in the blessing tonight. I'm blessed. And the Word of God has given us some key here. Look at the blessedness tonight. He said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Let me just say this. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but where we're living in our generation is people want the blessing without the book. There's even people meeting in the name of God in facilities all over the world that never open a Bible, and yet they want the blessing of God on their life. I tell you, this blessing comes through the book. This blessing comes through the blood. We'll say a little bit more about that in just a moment. There's blessedness. He said, they're undefiled. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe that God's blessings are worthy of our, listen, it is the grace of God that we're blessed. But we do have a responsibility in that grace to seek His face, to seek His Word, to read His Word, to memorize His Word, to share His Word with others. Amen. The word blessedness. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation, please, chapter number 1. This is just a thought that came to my mind. I thought about... I don't know, Brother Brian, did you say Psalm 1 was your favorite or one of your favorite? Maybe it's your favorite. But even Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not. Here, in Psalm 1, he's telling you how not to walk. But, and he's also telling you how to walk. He said in the next verse, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Here in Psalm 119, he's telling us how to walk, that we might be blessed. Watch. Watch what the Word of God said in verse number 1 of Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and He signified by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Now notice verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. I don't know about you tonight. I need that blessing that comes from reading the Word of God. I need that blessing that comes from believing the Word of God. I need that blessing that comes from practicing the Word of God. I need that blessing that comes from fearing, amen, the Word of God. Reverential fear. Blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, look at those words, for the time is at hand. How many believes that tonight? Amen. The time is at hand. Somebody said, well, John wrote that 2,000 years ago. And I say, amen. But just remember, One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I believe that when the Apostle Paul was writing and talking about the last days, that my friend, listen, when Jesus died, was buried, and rose again and ascended back to heaven, we're living in the last days. But I believe we can say in our generation, with all that we're seeing, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, that we can say we're living in the last of the last days. I believe that. Men's heart failing them for fear. Blessedness, it comes through the Word of God. Secondly, tonight, I'm going to back up and say some things about each one of these. But the second thought that I saw tonight as I looked into this is the word cleanliness. Not only blessedness, but the word cleanliness. How many's ever heard the statement, cleanliness is next to godliness? How many's ever heard that? And now that's not a Bible verse, but I believe it's a true statement. The Bible said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And follow after holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I believe with all my heart that seems like in some circles, people are afraid of the word holy. Amen? But it's a Bible word. It's a Bible truth that's taught. And there's cleanliness to be looked. Jesus said here, he said in verse number, in chapter 15 of the book of John, he said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He said here, they also do no iniquities. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. So I believe tonight the Word of God will help us to be blessed. I believe the Word of God will help us to be clean. Amen? It'll help us to be clean. You say, well, preacher, I don't think that I ever get dirty. I believe that's what Jesus was portraying when he washed the feet of the disciples. Hey, listen, they didn't need to be washed all over. It was their feet that were defiled. Amen? As they walked on this earth. And you and I, amen, God tells us, listen, to keep herself unspotted from the world. He said, these things I write in you, 1 John 2, that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, amen. And so it's the Word of God that brings that cleansing. And I believe that's important. There's a blessedness. There's a cleanliness and that's given to us here in these words. And then there's a boldness. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse number 6. He said, then shall I not be ashamed. Beloved, listen, I'm not fussing tonight, but according to Romans chapter number 10, if a man says he's born again and he's ashamed, there's something wrong. The Word of God said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I believe there's a difference between boldness and arrogance. Arrogance is a man that's full of himself and full of pride. But boldness is saying, hey, my God said it. It's his word. It'll stand when the world's on fire. Amen. And there's a boldness that we're not ashamed of the Word of God. I've told people often, I'm ashamed of my past, but I'm not ashamed of the man that saved me. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He saved me. I remember driving back to Wise, doing about 70-something another mile an hour, where the speed limit was 55, trying to get back to pick my children up from school. I remember that state trooper. I can see his left front wheel locked up and sliding in the grass while he's trying to get turned around to give me a ticket. Amen. And I just pulled on over there and waited on him. Amen. I didn't want the brother to get killed trying to give me a ticket. Amen. And so he drove up there and I let him write the ticket. His name was Officer Willis. And this is what I told Officer Willis. I said, Officer, I said, I'm the pastor of the Hurricane Baptist Church up here in Wise. Now listen to me. I let him write the ticket. I wasn't trying to talk myself out of nothing. Amen. I let him write the ticket and I said, I'm the pastor up here in Wise. I said, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I said, I'm ashamed of the way I was driving, but I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Help me right there. Amen. That man took a half a step back. Brother Ralph, I told him this. I said, I appreciate you doing your job. I'm glad you're out here for us. He took a half a step back and looked at me and said, Mr. Vinoy, you don't find many attitudes like that on the road. Well, amen. I don't know if the man was saved or not, Brother John, but I tell you what, that'd be pretty hard to swallow. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart there ought to be a boldness about us. Amen. We can be ashamed of ourselves when we miss the mark, but we should never be ashamed of the one that never missed the mark. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That's what our Lord and our Savior was. There was a boldness. He said, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I tell you, some of the biggest whoopings I've ever gotten in my Christian life is when I held my peace and I went away and I knew I was supposed to speak a word for him. I tell you, you know, when you, kind of like my dad did give me a few whoopings in my life. I jokingly say, of course, it's not a joke. Mama whooped me every day, and I don't remember one of them. Daddy whooped me 4 times, and I ain't forgot one of them. Amen. That's the way it was. But Daddy had a way of whooping you without whooping you, too. That's not included in them four. Them four was a killing. Amen. Brother Danny Sykes said there's a difference between a whooping and a whipping. He said a whipping's 2 or 3 good licks. A whooping's 2 or 3 licks shy of eternity. Amen. Daddy knew how to whoop you. Amen. But I tell you what, there were times when I just disappointed my daddy. And he'd look at me. I'd about rather have a whooping, to be honest with you. I wonder how many times tonight we've disappointed our Heavenly Father when we've clammed up when we should have spoke up. Amen. And I tell you, some of those times too, it could be detected by just how close we were walking to the Word that day. Maybe we got up and rushed out into the day. Amen. How many's with me tonight? And we missed that opportunity to get in the Word and actually pray that God would give us an opportunity. And we're ready to speak a word to that individual for the Lord. And then there's the word uprightness. Look at it here with me. He said in verse number 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe that we as God's people, we should walk circumspectly. We should walk upright. We should be upright in our heart. We should be upright in our manners. We should be upright in our speech. And let me tell you where the biggest battle I fight is. We should be upright in our thought processes. Somebody help me tonight. The Word of God said, bringing every thought into captivity. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm not arrived there yet. Amen. I believe with all my heart, like Brother Billy said, Brother Brian, we'll be striving. Just because we ain't got there yet, we'll just keep on striving. Amen. Keep on trying to think right. And be upright, not only in our heart, but in our mind and in our life. And so tonight, I'll just give you a couple of things. And we'll go back through the psalm here just a minute. I see that there's a defilement that is avoided by the Word of God. He said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You know, I believe tonight, I've actually had this said in our ministry. He is narrow-minded. Let me tell you something tonight. We should be as narrow as the book is. You say, preacher, what happens? Listen now. He said here, who walk in the law of the Lord. What happens when we walk outside of the law of the Lord? We get defiled. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. I said this, I think, Sunday. The Word of God will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the Word of God. And so, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Defilement is avoided by the Word of God. When we stay in the Word of God, we can avoid that path of defilement. And then devotion is employed by the Word of God. Look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. The Word of God talks about seeking Him early. I believe that's a good practice. You say, preacher, why? The cell phone's not near as likely to ring early. Someone's not near as likely to knock on the door early. Amen. And so the Word of God is talking about a devotion, seeking Him with our whole heart. I believe that one of the reasons that we're living in a generation where even believers are so unstable. How many believes there are a lot of believers that are unstable? Listen, it's because the Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Jesus talked about having an eye that was single. And here there's the Word of God. There's the path that God has laid out for us. And if we're going to be devoted to the Word of God, we're going to have to seek Him with our whole heart. And then we see the diligence that's experienced by the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 4, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. I believe there's a lot of haphazard living going on today. But God wants us to keep His precepts diligently, on purpose. Someone said one time, talking about money, that if you watch the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. Think about that for a moment, and that's true. But you know, I believe in our lives as Christians, if we watch the little foxes that spoil the vine. I just want to stop and say the little foxes that spoil the nectar. Say amen right there. Then we can have that sweetness. We can have that honey. We can walk upright. We can be diligent in the Word of God. And then there's one more thing I want to say right here as we look at it together in verse number 5. He said, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. I believe that diligence is taught in verse number 4 we read. It's taught in verse number 8. He said, I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. How many knows why that there were texts written like that in the Old Testament? You remember David said, I can't remember exactly, Psalm 51. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Remember that? Psalm 51. Why would someone pray like that? Or I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Let me tell you something tonight. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God in the Old Testament economy would come upon a man and empower a man. But that Holy Spirit could leave that man, and many times did leave that man. Look at the life of Saul. But in the New Testament, our God didn't come to leave and come back and leave and come back. He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I just want to say this tonight. You talk about blessedness. The blessedness of never having to pray what Jesus prayed. Brother Ralph, he's hanging on a cross and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I may pray some broken prayers, and I have prayed some broken prayers, I have been in some dark valleys and I have been in some lonely valleys, but I have never even thought about praying. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You say, preacher, did you always know he was there? There were times I couldn't sense his presence. He seemed like he was a million miles away, but I've got a book that said he would never leave me and never forsake me. And so I knew on the authority of God's word, it didn't matter what I was feeling. Faith said he's right there. That's where we get that. The writer of that poem. You remember footprints in the sand. Oh, my child. Yes, there's only one set. And he's ever walked through a valley, and you know why there was only one set of footprints. Because, honey, he throwed you up on his shoulder, and he carried you through that valley. You couldn't make it by yourself. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Well, I'm glad I backed up and punted right there. I about missed a good one, didn't I? Amen. You see up there in my notes about diligence, I had a little thing. It said also verse 8. Amen. I about missed that. Then the last thing, that direction. How many of you all know that we need direction? We need direction. I did not always know this. In my Christian life, I'm being honest, I didn't always know this, but I'll teach you tonight. When you need direction, I believe prayer is important. And it's been a blessing to me since I learned that God will give direction through His Word. Listen, you can't treat the Bible like a book of magic. You can't do that. It's not Bible roulette. Just open your Bible and put your finger. I don't know if I can remember the little tale that was told. A fella did that and he put his finger on a verse and it said Judas went out and hanged himself. He put his finger on another verse, said go and do thou likewise. That's not what it's about. But I tell you what, if a believer, Brother Ralph, will pray, say, God, I don't know which way to go. I have a God in heaven that can take this Bible, make it jump plumb off of the page and down in your heart and give you a deep, settled peace on which way you're supposed to go. And if when you go that way, listen to me carefully just a moment. Listen to me. You say, preacher, how important is it? Well, how many of y'all been married more than 10 years? Okay. How many can say marriage after 10 years is a bed of roses? What about the first 10? Amen. Now listen to me. Here's what I'm saying. A person that's prayed about who God wants them to marry, a person that God has answered them and showed them in the Word of God who God wants them to marry. When a rough time does come, they just plow right on through it. Why? Because they have something to stand on beside the waves. Amen? Besides the rough time. I believe it's important. In the ministry, I guess it's been this coming July, I believe, be 10 years ago, I had a bad wreck. What if you're doing something and you're just not sure that's what God wants you to do? I can honestly say the thought never crossed my mind. You say, preacher, why did you sit out here on the parking lot? Why did you pray? Why did you look in God's Word? Because I got sense enough to know it ain't all going to be a bed of roses from here to glory. And I got sense enough to know, amen, if rough water comes, you better be able to go back to a spot and say, God, I know this is what you put in my heart. I remember when you put this in my heart. I remember what you said in your Word. Direction. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We should develop an attitude. Whether it's, you might think I'm silly, whether it's buying a home or accepting a job or whether it's buying a car, we should develop an attitude. Lord, I want your will to be done right here. Amen. And there have been times in my life when I didn't get an answer in the Word of God. I just wasn't sure. And I don't encourage this, but if there's a time and you've sought and you've sought and you've sought diligently, there's been some times in my life when I did like Gideon, when I laid out a fleece before the Lord. I'll give you an example. There's a little church, Long's Bend Baptist Church, down across the river in Sargoyensville. I was with Rock of Ages, had been with them several years. They were without a pastor. I gave them everything on my calendar that was open for 6 months, just trying to help them on down the road. There was a dear lady in that church without fail. Every time we would preach and every time the service would be over, she would say to me at the back door of the church, "Brother Vinoy, you do know we're without a pastor, don't you?" And I'm telling you, it would rip my heart out. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I love God's people. I hate to see God's people anywhere, under any condition, hurting. I was in a prison revival in, Pennsylvania. I thought I could remember the name of the town. Here it is, Shikshini, up on the Shenandoah River, one of the coldest places I've ever been in my life. And I went in there. I wasn't thinking about that church at this time. How many believes the Holy Spirit is good to us? I went to pray. I went to pray for that meeting. We were going to be there Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday morning, and close the meeting out on Sunday morning. And I just went to pray, and the Lord impressed upon me. I was praying. I said, "God, I need an answer. I don't know." I said, "God, I said, if you want me to take this church, I'll take it. I belong to you. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. But I said, Lord, if you want me to take this church, I want you to let us go through this entire weekend in this revival and not see anybody saved." And I said, "God, if you want me to stay where I'm at, I said, I want you to save 7 men. I wasn't planning on none of this. It's what came out as I was praying. I didn't know about the previous meeting. We keep records with Rock of Ages. I didn't know how many had been saved in the previous meeting. I do know this. There had only been like one or two meetings in 10 years that we didn't see somebody profess faith in Christ in that meeting. I got up, I preached on Friday night, nobody got saved. We had Bible studies, we give an invitation in Bible studies, Saturday morning, and nobody got saved. Saturday afternoon, 3 hours in Bible study, and no one got saved. Sunday morning, God let me quote Isaiah 53 and preach on how our Lord loved us and suffered for us. Had a little glass room off to the side. What that was for is so you could have two different religions doing their thing at the same time. There was a small group, they could go in there and it was kind of soundproof. And then the other could be out in the chapel. I gave the invitation. Up until then, even Saturday night, I said, "Lord, I might be headed to Long's Bend. I don't know, but I'm yours." I gave the invitation and six men walked down the aisle, went into that little glass room with one of our men where they could deal with them from the Bible personally, one-on-one. I counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I turned back around and looked at the congregation. And I said, I believe there's somebody else. And before I could get the rest of the statement out, another man stepped out, walked down the aisle, went in that room. Now listen to me carefully. Very unusual. You'd have to know about working in prison, wouldn't you, Brother Wayne? Brother Wayne, it's very unusual if seven men come forward for seven men to get saved. Two or three of them will say, no, I'm backslid. I've been saved, but I'm backslid. I mean, it's inevitable. I'm looking over there, and that's it. We wrap it up. I asked that man. His name was Robert Leach. I said, Brother Robert, how many of those men trusted Jesus? He looked at me. He said, Preacher, I've never seen such brokenness in all my life. He said, every one of them trusted the Lord. You said, Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there's a God in heaven. If we'll look to Him, He will direct our path. He will. And even when we don't know what to do, we can't get settled maybe in the Bible. God didn't hold it against Gideon. Gideon said, now, Lord, listen, I know you answered last night. I can't remember which one was first. Let the fleece be dry and the ground wet, and then let the fleece be wet and the ground dry. He said, Lord, don't be mad at me, but let me just ask you one more. He said, I want to be sure. Gideon was an unlikely man to do what God had him to do. He was from a poor family. You say, Preacher, I don't know why you told that. Here's why. God's no respecter of person. And let me say this to you tonight. I ain't nobody. But Brother Ralph, if I would have missed him then, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. How many knows what I just said? I can honestly say tonight, I'm not going to use the word believe. I know I'm standing in the center of God's will for my life. I hope and pray to God that between here and heaven, wherever that is, that I can stay in the center of God's will for my life. I'm going to tell you something. I'll not do it without this. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. I believe we're living in a generation when decisions many times are made so lightly. Don't you? And God's people, God would say to us tonight, look to me. Look to me. I've often thought if we would look to Him, the Bible said, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. If we would look to Him for our salvation, the most important thing in our life, why wouldn't we look to Him for everything else? The Word of God said in the book of Romans, I may not quote it exactly right, but he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him give us all things that we need? Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. I can remember years ago, I was saved not long, 18 months. Hadn't been saved long at all. I was teaching an adult men's class. I had a van route, had two radio programs, had children's church. And I can remember my wife. There was a church came open up in Wise, the first church I pastored. They didn't call me. They called my pastor. They called Brother Wishon, Brother Rose. I think you all know him. Brother Bud Wishon out of North Carolina. Anyway, they called Brother Bud. They had one of his gospel tracts that one of the men in that church had met him in a camp meeting, in Brother Billy Kelly's camp meeting years ago. Brother Bud went up, looked at the church, and they said, "Do you think you might come and be our pastor?" He said, "No." He said, I'm really not interested." He said, "But I know where your pastor is." And he said, "Well, pray tell me. Brother Walter Sam Elliott, he's in heaven now." He said, "Pray tell me." He said, "He's sitting on the front bench in my church." They called me, asked me to come up and preach. I went up and preached. That's a church that had the little clock nailed on the pulpit. I was down in front of the communion table preaching the first service. And at that time, I could hear. 12 o'clock, something started going beep, 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 beep. And I traced it down. It was like a leather wristwatch nailed to the pulpit with two carpet tacks flashing. 12. I told him, I said, "You know, I don't know what God's going to do, but I said, I know this. If he brings me here, that will be the first order of business." I said, "My daddy taught me how to use a claw hammer, and it will be coming off of there." Amen. I'd go home. I'd work. Brother Ralph, go home. Miss Eve say, "You think we're going to Wise?" I'd say, "I don't know, honey." I'd go home the next day. She said, "Do you think we're going to Wise?" I said, "I don't know, honey." We were in revival meeting. I'm working 40, 50 hours a week, plus what I'm doing at the church. I was busy. 3 weeks went by. "You think we're going to Wise?" I said, "I don't know, honey." I hope y'all know I'm trying to brag on the Lord. I laid down beside my precious wife one night and couldn't go to sleep. I got up, got my church keys. It was about 2 miles to the church, a big moonlit night, and I just walked to the church. My pastor had made me a little place to study in the corner of a Sunday school room, 3 shelves and a desk. I opened the church up, and I went back there, and I got down under that desk. I spent the night with Jesus. I walked home about 5:30 in the morning. Moonlight. Took me a shower, went on to work. My wife didn't even know I was gone. Pray for her. She is sleeping good. I come in the next day, Brother Ralph, and my wife said, "Do you think we're going to Wise?" I said, "Start boxing it up, baby." I said, "If I'm not the next pastor of the Hurricane Baptist Church, they're going to miss the will of God." How many believes God can do that for us? He can nail it down. No wonder the psalmist said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." I don't know about you tonight, but I'm too far down this trail to miss him now. I don't want to miss him now. Do you? I want to go with God. Amen. Let me say this about Saturday. We've got a flyer. I was sitting there thinking, Brother Steve, if we only handed out 100 flyers on each visitation, at the end of this year, we will have put 1,200 flyers into the hands of people in our area. Now, we know we're going to do better now at Christmas and at Bible school for sure. We always have a big crowd, and we try to hand out 400 or 500 flyers. But that's 1,200 people that will get to read a little message from this old book. 1,200. Actually, it's more than that as far as people, because We don't give out one for each member of the family. We just give one to the household. And I believe God can take that little bitty effort and bless it and do great things, don't you? Amen. I met Dusty and Stephanie on our first visitation for Bible school. They didn't live where they live now. And 3 years later, I say hallelujah. To God be the glory. How many's glad you come tonight? That aleph, I don't think I told you this, symbol of an ox, strength, leader, Lord. I believe that's what the psalmist is trying to say right off the bat. He is Lord. He is strong. He's our leader. Amen. Father, tonight, thank you for the Word of God and thank you for these folks that have come. Lord, the teens that are here tonight, all the children that are here tonight, each one of the classes, God, that are bringing them the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for all of our workers, our teachers, our church. God, no one can do this by themselves. It takes all of us working together. I pray, dear Father, that you'd add your blessings now to the Word of God. Help us, our Father, tonight. Lord, I do realize tonight, God, you're in the directing business. Lord, I think about an orchestra. And Lord, about the instruments, how they need to be in tune, how the director will lead them. God, I pray you'll be our director. Help us, our Lord, to follow your hand, to follow your word, to follow your lead. God, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.